when they dump you, it should be a mic drop, and you should walk away no matter what. Cause anything extra that you add is just making you appear weaker. Like you have to be in battle mode at that point. Like the more you do, the weaker you look, and like the more thirsty and desperate you come across.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it's more of a, that's a way I get over it. It's like, I shoot my last shot. Like, I'm like, there you go. And that's almost what makes me go, they don't want you. I'm done.
Right. But they already told you they don't want you.
Oh, I know. Oh, I know.
But just, it is, I would go to the grave with this. Like it's just a stronger look. Cause even when I dump someone, like nothing hurts more when you dump someone and they don't at all try to get you back.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Shooters Gotta Shoot. I am your co-host, Erica Sparrow.
And I'm Molly DeMillier.
And we've got a great episode for you this week with a return guest requested by the Patreon.
Hey, yo.
Thank you all so much for joining the Patreon. If you want to join and get power in the podcast, you can join at patreon.com/shootersgottashoot.
We are almost to giving everyone a free t-shirt, too. So oh, yeah. People should definitely sign up because I want a shirt.
Yeah, we don't have merch yet. So yeah. We're going to be handing out free merch for the Patreon gang.
Yeah.
We're almost at 200 people. So you want to join in, you're going to get your t-shirt and also going to get all the juice.
Oh my God, we got a lot going on over there.
Our episode today is about breakups. We're talking again with our buddy Corinne Fisher, breakup expert of the pod.
Yep, she is our breakup guru.
Yeah, and fun fact, when I had my breakup last year, it was literally almost the same day as Molly's breakup this year.
Yep.
So we are very much in sync. Yeah. Our cycles are synced. Our breakups are synced. It's you know, it's all happening. It's a fun time. So we had Corinne back of great timing around Valentine's Day and breakups and all the fun things in life.
We should just send her a calendar hold for next year.
We should. Yeah. We're like, next February? Yeah.
Same time next year.
Come through. Yeah. Let's see how we feel about man. But I have a fun update actually from the episode we did that was like the 7 things guys want but won't ask for.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right? Like the 7 secrets of men or whatever.
Yeah.
So a couple friends texted in a group chat and someone was like, oh, I'm listening to episode 71 and I always laugh about my ex. I remember telling him I need him to text me at least once a day. And he listened, but he would text me about the cars he was fixing up. Like pictures, and was so excited he found whatever part he found, and I was like, oh well, I guess he listened.
I mean, he did the thing, but I think she should have been a little more specific of what she was looking for.
But it's just so funny, if I've been in this where you're like, I need to speak up for what I want, and then so you say a little something and you're mm-hmm. like, let's see where they take it. And then stuff like this happens.
Yeah, and you're like, I should have said nothing.
Yeah. And then
I have so many regrets.
And then it's so funny. Like then in the group chat, another person shared. They just said, I remember I said the same thing to David when we first started dating. And then he would just text me, what are you doing? 10 times a day.
Oh, no. No. That is my nightmare. Oh my God.
But it's the same thing. It's like, she wanted me to text, so I'm going to text. What are you up to now? What's going on over there?
How was your lunch?
Yeah. How was it? And then literally in person, just by coincidence, didn't listen to the episode. I had a friend tell me of current guy she's dating. She's like, yeah, I understand. You're busy. I just want to hear from you a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. So she said something to him about communicating during the day. And now she'll get a text that says, hope you're having a great day.
Men try.
It's like surprising and not surprising at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, at least they're trying.
Yeah, there's some effort. You know, yeah. They are trying to make you happy.
They are.
Right? Happy wife, happy life, baby, as we said in that episode. Yeah. Oh, leave us a review if you haven't.
Mm-hmm.
Do that, especially if you're new to the pod. Let us know what you like, even what you don't like. But just make sure it's 5 stars when you write your criticisms.
Yeah.
Okay? But yeah, let's get to it.
Let's do it. You have heard her on the Guys We Fucked podcast.
Or might have heard her new podcast called Without a Country.
And she is our breakup guide.
Please welcome to the pod, Corinne Fisher.
Woo-hoo-hoo!
back to the pod, what? I should say.
So proud. I want to be known as your crazy aunt of breakups. That is going to be my legacy on this planet. I can guide anyone through a breakup.
Well, welcome.
Yeah, the second I got dumped, when I was done like eating chocolate and drinking wine in my bed, I was like, Erica, we need Corinne. Got to get her back.
It is funny because I do, that's like the only kind of calls I don't mind fielding, because basically like Christina, my comedy partner, jokes that my phone is just a hotline for like men to air their grievances, not with me personally, surprisingly, just in general, because there's something about me that's like, I'm empathetic enough that I read as a woman, but I can still like give it to people strong, like a dude. Mm-hmm. So men really love that, you know, not in relationships, just to, but I do like handling breakups because I do feel like it's one of the few things in life that I have an expertise in. So hit me, guys, hit me.
Well, I think a fun way to start, a general question for everybody, is there ever a good way to break up with someone?
I think there is. I mean, listen, a breakup can be relief and freedom even for the person being broken up with. I would say if it's going to be, though, you just won't know at that moment. It won't feel like it in that moment, but it'll feel like that maybe months or even years later. If for instance, the impetus for the Guys We Fuck podcast, when he dumped me and, you know, in the moment I was devastated, but years later, like the things that he had said to me that I thought were just bullshit, kind of like that I needed, like that he was stifling me in my career. I thought he was just saying that to like soften the blow. Cause you know, guys love not looking like the bad guy, even though they're consistently the bad guy. It's like, yep. But years later, I really did understand what he was saying. And I had remembered what he said, because of course I was so upset with it initially, upset with what he said initially, because I thought it was bullshit. And I was just in pain in general from the breakup. But then years later, I was like, he's absolutely right. You know, I wouldn't have grown as a comedian because I was like in that early 20s bad girl habit of supporting my boyfriend, as much as myself. Maybe I never like neglected myself, but I was certainly putting too much into being his cheerleader, showing up at his shows when I should have been home working on my own sketches and my own stand-up comedy, which I was able to do as soon as he dumped me. And again, like it didn't seem like it that at the time. But so that is that's a good reason to break up with someone. A good way to break up with someone, I think, is in like their own home, honestly. It seems weird because it seems like you're going to tarnish your own home. But for me, it's like wherever you can get out without making a scene. You certainly don't want, I hate when people do it in public places. It's so fucking rude to like make a bitch cry in a diner. Yeah. Like, no, so rude. And I think it's better to do it at the person who's getting broken up with's house, because then they can just stay and cry and you can leave, exit. It's the fastest way. And it's like brings them to comfort the quickest, because to travel, have to like take an Uber home crying, especially in a mask these days, that's cruel. Yeah. No one needs that.
Yeah, I can co-sign that. It's not great.
Oh, is that, did you have to Uber home crying?
So I went the next day and like brought him groceries because he had COVID and he broke up with me like over the phone, but he didn't have any food. So I had to then go home on the subway, like crying in my mask.
Right. Okay. I really would wish you had talked to me before you dropped off those groceries so you could close them. But you know, it's 2020, so we learn. So this one's, I've changed my opinion on over the years, because it does hurt very much when someone doesn't give you room to say your piece. And I think that's like part of, you know, getting, you know, what we call getting closure. That being said, like no one needs a reason to break up with anyone. You can just realize, like, decide that you don't like fucking looking at that person anymore and you don't want them breathing in your space. And I've done that. And there's a kind way to do that. And then there's the way this fucking dude did that. So I do want to like say that. And it's a really hard pill to swallow. And it's a pill I've had to swallow myself but it's also a pill that I've handed out to like a lot more people than have given it to me. So, so that's part one. And then, but part two is, yeah, like I think part of kind breaking up is giving someone an actual reason. Like there has to be some kind of a reason. And I think like a reason for me is really helpful because there are reasons like, I want to have kids and you don't, that are reasons that are like, okay, well, it was never going to work no matter what. And there's nothing that I need to change. And then there are constructive reasons like, I feel like you're not a good communicator. And it doesn't mean that if someone says something like that to you, that it is necessarily true. It just means that they feel that it is true. So it's a fact to them, but not really, because it's just a feeling. So I think, in those ways that gives you the ability to kind of reevaluate yourself as a partner and either decide that, yes, this is feedback I've gotten before and they are correct. And I use the example of bad communicator because that's one I got so many times that I said, okay, it must be true. You know, because at a certain point you have to say, if I'm getting the same feedback from all my partners, even if that's not feedback I get from my friends, obviously I'm acting in a different way around my partners. And that is kind of like part of like what guys we fucked, we started it for, to really like, you know, reflect and not just be like, men suck, even though men do suck. And I stand by that. I know a lot of people who suck and they're, you know, across the gender spectrum. But again, you're the learning and growing process, but you're going to need a never, unless you like physically harm someone, you cheat on, and really just don't need to apologize. And even like if you cheat on someone, like, yeah, it's, you don't even bother apologizing. Like, what are you doing? Like, you know what? Like, why? You like, don't, it's just so, I don't know. I was watching, there's a relationship therapist named Dr. Darcy Sterling on Instagram, who I really like. And she was talking about apologizing the other day. And she was like, yeah, a lot of times apologizing like is for you. Not in this instance, but in instances where someone has actually done something wrong. You're just apologizing because you're a woman, I think. Yeah. And that's like the go-to. And so often in relationships, we think like we've done something wrong if we're getting dumped. But in reality, like that's not the case. I've dumped people who did things wrong and I've dumped people who didn't do anything wrong. I just decided like, this isn't my person, you know? Mm-hmm. And there's no crime in that. But you know what? You have a kind heart and there's no need to be punished for that. Like your intentions were good, but I sometimes think like having these kind of good intentions is ultimately going to exhaust you and allow people to walk all over you. So, mm-hmm. You know, I'm not suggesting to become a hardened bitch like me. That's also hard to digest, but I think there's a happy medium somewhere.
I was going to say, I didn't want to speak for Molly, but it's like, sometimes for myself, I know sometimes I need to just do that like one last effort.
Yeah.
And that's kind of my like, okay, they for sure don't want me. Like I still showed I was great. And there was no part of them like almost regretting the decision or reaching out in whatever way, you know?
Yeah. Right. And I think that going that whole, I think it was actually like a total of 10 days. I just didn't hear from him. I had poured my heart out in this letter. I gave him a week's worth of groceries or more. And that whole time I was just like, okay, like we're really just not even gonna say thanks, you know, like it just showed me so much about him and like what me doing something like that meant to him. And I was actually in like a really good place until he reached out to me. And then I was just like, oh my God, I was like brought right back.
Well, and that tells you something about the relationship. So it's like, maybe he did do this thing unknowingly, which was give you the gift of releasing you from something that you thought was good for you that actually wasn't.
Yeah.
So that's part one. And then part two is like, going back to Erica's point of like, you always try to do one last thing to show them that you're great. Totally hear you, totally have been there. But what's showing them that you're great in reality is not doing anything else. It's because that's the mic drop. Just letting, even if you get dumped, just there is no stronger, and especially unless it's an instance where you really did something wrong and you need to, and you think that, and you fucked up and you want to get the person back, like you cheat, something like that. Like then you can fight for them. When they dump you, it should be a mic drop and you should walk away no matter what. Cause anything extra that you add is just making you appear weaker. Like you have to be in battle mode at that point. Like the more you do, the weaker you look and like the more thirsty and desperate you come across.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it's more of a, that's a way I get over it. Of I'm like,
right.
I like, it's like I shoot my last shot. Like, I'm like, there you go. And that's almost what makes me go, they don't want you. I'm done.
Right. But they already told you they don't want you.
Oh, I know. Oh, I know.
I 100% understand where you're coming from, just because I am a lot like Erica in personality. So I get it. And it's like that perfectionist that like, no, I can do this. Mm-hmm. But just, it is, I would go to the grave with this. Like it's just a stronger look. Cause even when I dump someone, like nothing hurts more when you dump someone and they don't at all try to get you back. They don't do anything. That hurts a lot.
Yeah. Or I'm like, maybe that last effort also is a way of like, it makes me now kind of mad at them. And it's like, that also kind of makes it easier. Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Like you're like, oh, okay. Fuck you. Like you go into fuck you mode. You're not sad anymore.
Yeah. I get it. I think there's just a way to even go one step further in growth and just fit in your head, come to more of a Zen state where you don't even have to do that to feel separated from that person and to feel kind of like whole and fine within yourself.
Well, I think it is also a little bit of a confidence thing of like, I was feeling, looking back, being dumped, that I was like, oh my God, I must have made all these mistakes throughout the relationship. You know, let me do this one thing to show that I really am good enough. And yeah. I think if I was truly confident in where I was in the relationship when he dumped me, then I would have been able to say it right there, like, no, I really was good to you. And mm-hmm. I wasn't feeling that. And I think I still have my doubts that, you know, maybe there were things that I should have done a lot better. But
yeah, it's not like you're morphing into someone else when you're in a relationship anyway, unless you have a really unhealthy way of being in relationships. Mm-hmm. But most of us are just kind of the same person, whatever. So like, if you feel good about yourself, if you've done the work on yourself outside being in a relationship, there's no reason to go into panic mode when you're in one. Like your personality at this point, I don't want to say is on autopilot, because we should always be learning it and evolving. But it's like, it's not like if you're a good person, you know, to your friends and your family and all these things, it's not like you're all of a sudden going to become a piece of shit when you start dating someone. And so that's a weird panic mode that I think we go into, because we become so vulnerable in romantic relationships. But really, like, you are who you are. And so even if you have like little fuck ups or say a wrong thing or do a wrong thing, like that really shouldn't throw the whole thing off its course. And also what I've learned, and as a perfectionist, this really blew my mind. People seemingly like flawed people more than perfect people. It's like, the better I get, the less people are interested in me, because it makes their insecurity is that more glaring. Mm-hmm. And even in relationships where people love us and care for us, we're still just acting as a mirror for everything they hate about themselves. And so all relationships are doomed and destined for failure.
Oh, casual, period.
And I'm happily dating someone, and this is my attitude. This face, you know?
Well, it's interesting, because the last time we had you on for breakups, basically our gist of the episode was like, pick a reason for the breakup, right? Even just to help yourself get over it, even if they don't give you a reason. But Molly is now experiencing a hard time coming up with not reasons for the breakup or reasons you didn't like that person, right?
Yeah. So in the How to Fix a Broken Heart book, it says like even the nitpicky things that you don't like about the person, just to get negative thoughts basically going about them in your mind. And
yeah,
I just
make a list.
Yeah. I'm like, I honestly can't even pick anything to put on the list. The only thing I could think was like, he said he liked Barclays better than Madison Square Garden. I was like, that's stupid. Yeah. That's all I got though. So, I mean, have you ever not been able to put anything on the list?
I think you're in the honeymoon period of the breakup, and there's absolutely no way. Because if there is, then Molly, you actually did fuck up so badly. You found the perfect man and you fucked it up, and you have to go give him more groceries. Just every night, because you've lost the most precious person to ever exist. I could meet this guy for 5 minutes. You could send me a picture right now, and I could find 5 things I don't like about him without him ever saying anything. Impossible.
I don't know. It was just a very like chill relationship. And I'm like, okay, then maybe we really didn't dive deeper. And it was just kind of on the surface. And I didn't realize that.
Is he the same age as you?
Yeah.
Or close?
Yeah. Okay. He's also 28.
Okay. So another thing is like, when you said it just felt very chill, some people, chill is what I would argue a healthy relationship does feel like. We never see healthy relationships on TV or in films because they're very boring to watch, because when things are going great, no, there's no drama. There's nothing to do. And it's taken me a really long time to realize a healthy relationship is going to feel boring, especially when you're like living in New York City. For me, I'm in, you know, a comedian in New York City. Like I'm surrounded by severe mental illness every day. And I'm dating someone right now and it is healthy. And I've been talking a lot how I actively have to do maintenance on my own mind, because I will slip into like, it feels boring. Like he texts me every night around the same night. And then my initial read on that is, oh, that's boring. But it's not boring. You know, I think the words that we can come up with, like, it's like, oh, he's like suffocating or he's predictable. It's like, how about you just flip the language that you're talking about people in, like we do so easily for pieces of shit. Like we call people who are gaslighting manipulators. We're like, oh, he's exciting. He's unexpected. I never know what's going on. Like that's not, that is a fucking emotional abuse. Yeah. And so if I flip the wording for this person who's boring and predictable, which is a negative way of looking at it, it's not negative. There's nothing, he's doing nice things. He's someone I can rely on. He's supportive. He's interested in me. Like these are good things. And that's like maintenance that I still have to do on myself, you know, weekly. But then when I really sit in it, I think, oh, I think I'm in a good place. Even today, my therapist goes, oh, are you still seeing that guy? I forgot you were even seeing anyone because you never talk about him. And I was like, yeah, he doesn't bother me. And that's why you don't hear about him. But yeah, I think we're all really guilty of that. And I even went back and I sat over quarantine and I thought of all the times that I've been like madly in love and what made me feel those feelings. And then I'm like, yeah, it was like them not calling me back or like us getting in a huge fight and breaking up for 2 days and then getting back together. And it's like, it was thrilling because I was in fight or flight mode. It wasn't thrilling because they were taking me on a trip to Paris, you know? Mm-hmm. And yeah. Even things like where you, even like celebrities will see them go through big breakups. And then like, God, there was like one rapper who like made a grand gesture. Was it with Cardi B?
It was, I think it was Cardi B and Offset. Yeah.
Yeah, like when Offset came on stage, like interrupted her concert to give her flowers and apologize. And everyone was like, oh, that's so cute. That was not cute. Mm-hmm. That was emotional abuse, gaslighting. You fucked up. And now you're going to interrupt your girl who's more famous than you's concert? Like, fuck it out of my face. That's bullshit. It's bullshit. Mm-hmm. So just as much as like men suck, we do have to take more responsibility for the kind of men we're choosing. And, you know, in most relationships, no matter what, it's 50-50, percent blame for why it ended. Mm-hmm. And, you know, cause it's like, well, I think too often, like women, we do like to play like the victim and like men are terrible, but it's like, well, at a certain point we have to stop choosing those men. And I'm not talking about people who are like hitting you. I'm talking about just like people who are, you know, everyday bad.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think relationships definitely just take two people too. So there's going to be mistakes on both sides. But right. I think like in looking at this, I feel so strange in comparison to like every other breakup of before I could always look at a breakup and be like, okay, well, the next person, like I don't want this, this and this. And, you know, I want to fix it in these ways. And this time I'm like, okay, well, I want all of those things just on someone else, I guess. Like, I don't know, it just feels kind of gross to be like, okay, I want to look for everything I just had in someone else.
Right. I mean, I hear that, but I think you will find more things as you go along. And that's kind of like what dating is. It's like as we go on, it's like making this list of things we like and we don't like based on the previous relationship. And it's also teaching us to function at a higher level, get deeper with someone, get more vulnerable with someone, you know. So instead of thinking like, oh, I just lost this, I wasted this time with this person, just think of it. It's like, oh, now I got this much closer to this guy that I know is out there for me. But at the end of the day, someone who breaks up with you is not the guy, because he doesn't have all the qualities you want. Because one of the main qualities you should be looking for in a partner is someone who is fucking excited to be with you, and he doesn't have that quality, Molly. So that's the main thing you need to be looking for.
Yeah, that's fair. I was gonna say, also on that note, there were things like I didn't even think about putting on my like breakup list as Guy Winch prescribes until then. I was seeing somebody else and I was like, oh, I forgot what this was like. This is now very clear that this was missing, and I didn't I didn't see that even in months after the breakup. And it was just like, oh, I forgot what like this is like.
Yeah, I mean, it can be little things, it can be big things. And I think again, like a relationship trick we're kind of taught is like to think about things that we don't want. And my therapist, who is like specifically a relationship, that's like where her line of expertise is, like family and relationships. And she was like, make a list of things that you do want to see in a person, and the ways you do want to feel in a relationship, and like what a day with that person feels like. And so I made all these lists, and like, you know, I never show them to anyone. I never read them to anyone besides her, but like, they're good to have. And I do look back at them now and again, because I think when you start kind of writing, you think of things that are important to you that maybe just fly out your head when you meet someone who's like hot and texts you funny things.
Very true. And yeah. You also touched a little bit on Matthew Hussey always says, like, the person who actually gets to know you, dates you, and then breaks up with you is the last person you should be with, because they actually got to know you. Like, mm-hmm. He was like, that person's somewhat doing you a favor, because they were like, I tried this, it's not for me, as opposed to someone that would say no to you off the bat or for like a superficial reason. Like, they're just not attracted to you or whatever. It's like, oh, that person doesn't know you at all. This person got to know you and now is saying no. So that's definitely not your match.
Right. But it is hard. It's hard. You know, it's hard being rejected for like the very essence of who you are. Like, yes, that is hard to handle.
Right.
No one likes that. That's not good. It doesn't feel great.
So you still talk to some of your exes?
No, overall, I am not a big fan of remaining friends with your exes. I think that's for people who like want to be known as like a nice person. And that's like a real psychopath move. The people I know who are like, I actually just gave my little brother a lecture on this. I was like, anyone who's like friends with all their exes is either terrible in bed or like a serial killer who's like keeping their enemies close. Like, it's not... That's not healthy behavior. Unless the person started as a friend, then became a relationship, and then you want to go back to friends, I could understand that. I could understand not wanting to lose a friend. If this was just someone who you met with the pure intentions of being in a romantic relationship with, and, you know, there are some people who realize they're just not sexually compatible and that was the only problem, you can remain friends with that type of a person. But very often that is not the case, mm-hmm. because if you're not sexually attracted, usually a relationship is not going to last that long. Mm-hmm. And so if you're just trying to hold on to like these old flames, it's very weird. And it's also stunting you from being able to grow on and move on to healthier relationships, because the problems that were there are still going to be there underneath the surface in the friendship. And I just argue that there's very few instances when that's okay. Like, there's certainly exes who like I will never talk to again and get excited when I think that they might have passed. And then there's other exes. I did have a, that's a, you know, more, and then there's exes who like, oh, if I ran into them on the street or whatever, and I would be happy to see them, happy to say, hey, how are you? But like, I'm not going to continue talking to them, you know, after that small meeting ends.
Yeah. It's like, we should rephrase it as there's people you're on good terms with and there's people you're on bad terms with.
Yeah,
when
exactly.
The relationship ends.
Yeah, there's people who like the breakup is a breakup for life. And there's people who it's just like, okay, yeah, like, yeah, I could shoot you a text if I needed to, or, you know, if I saw something that really reminded me of you, it wouldn't be weird to tell you. But overall, like, cut those strings, babies. You had your time. You had your time mm-hmm. with that person. So it's like, what are you trying to prove afterwards? You had literally the most intimate experience that two people could have. So if you couldn't make it work then, what are we holding on to?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes I almost feel like it's because you start your early relationships are like high school, college, and those are environments that you're like, you're going to be seeing that person a lot, right?
Yeah.
You kind of stay friends with those people in your groups.
Yeah.
Then when you're like a full adult outside of those groups, you feel like, no, we should stay friends because, you know, like these other ones had ended and it still was cool. And it's like, no, but that other scenario, high school, college, is just more so the good terms of the like, you know, you're going to see them. You just want to be cool when you see them. You don't like, you don't want them to be weird. You don't want to be weird. And that's more what it is. It's not the actual like friendship happening.
I mean, I think in some ways it's a lot of narcissism too. And I feel like it's mostly men that want to stay friends because I don't know if you guys have felt this, but a lot of times men just can't have someone be upset with them.
Yeah.
So like, oh, we're cool, right? It's like, no, we're not cool. Mm-hmm.
And beware of those men. Those are 100% of the time the most toxic men.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. The nicest boyfriend I ever had, shout out to Austin. He's married, has a kid, watches my Instagram every damn day, never reaches out though. And that's a beautiful, that's a beautiful relationship that we have. But I know that if I was in true duress and there was something that only he could handle, if I gave him a call, he'd pick up and he'd help me out. And that's, to me, that's a good person. It's someone that it's someone who, like, you know, has your back from a distance.
I like that phrasing of it.
Yeah. So what do you think is, like, your biggest piece of advice for anyone who might be going through a breakup right now? I know we had a lot of listeners who reached out to me after they listened to the Patreon and were going through something similar. And it's really unique in quarantine too. It feels extra isolating.
Yeah. I mean, I think quarantine, number one, my rule the whole time has been, I do give people a little bit more benefit of the doubt and an extra grain of salt than I would under normal circumstances, because I think everyone's mental state is, like, a little shaky right now. And so, you know, behaviors that I normally wouldn't be okay with, not that I'm okay with them now, but again, I just, like, maybe, like, if it's something that I would have been like, if you did it once, I would have been out. Now I'll let you do it twice, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's just like, was this a mistake? Was this, like, you're really on the edge, or is this just, like, who you are and you're blaming COVID-19? So I think there's that. And then there's this, like, weird vibe of people feeling like it's, you know, a lot of people got engaged, and I think it's because, like, they think that it's, like, the end of the world and you need to pick a partner. And I really think these people are going to be very disappointed in a couple years when everything's completely fine and they could just pick anyone they want, and we're all out fucking getting wasted and they're stuck with their wife or husband. That's going to suck for them. And I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, I mean, it's just so specific and there's so many reasons why, but I think, like, you know, as with all breakups, like, you know, you should be really excited to be with this person 90% of the time. But, like, if you didn't feel that way, like, what exactly are you mourning? Like, are you just mourning, like, the fact that you had companionship? Because, like, that really is empty. And quarantine, I would argue, is a really good time to get good with you. Spend a lot of alone time and really, really get good with you if you haven't already. And it's a good time to, like, really, like, evaluate what you want in your life, and that includes what you want in relationships. And I mean, I think, yeah, just the rule of thumb is, like, if someone doesn't want you, that's the end of it. And I think so often, like, we feel like, especially more motivated people are like, no, I should try to do something. I should do something more. I can't lose. Like, you're losing if you chase after someone who doesn't want you. That's when you're really losing. So if you don't, you're someone who, like, doesn't like to lose, don't do that.
I mean, hit the nail on the head with us.
Yeah, it's like, you know who you're talking to.
Honestly, yeah, competitive people.
But we have a similar, you know, it's easy for me to talk to people who are, like, very, like, motivated and, like, overachievers, because that's definitely, like, where I'm coming from too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's so funny because even women who are, like, aren't motivated in business, every woman I know seems to be very motivated in relationships and, yeah, like, in heterosexual relationships. And it's like, wow, if we could put all that energy and perfectionism into, you know, a small business, like, ourselves, our well-being, like, what a different world we would live in. And so it's, you know, that's what makes me sad. Cause I was even telling my therapist this afternoon, it's like, one of my very, very few regrets in life is how much time I've spent being sad over men. And I'm someone who literally became a millionaire being sad over men. But I can only imagine how sad everyone else is. And I'm still looking at myself.
Pretty sad, Corinne. Pretty sad.
Like, literally, like, if, like, people always go, aren't you so glad you got dumped into Panera Bread and you had a nervous breakdown? And truly, from the bottom of my heart, the answer is no. I would have rather just not behaved in that way. And just had $40,000. Like, I really do mean that, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say, one of the things I remember telling myself after my breakup last year when I was sad was, I was just like, you know, in a year from now, you're not going to be sad about this at all. Like, I was just like, or whatever time. But it's just, yeah, it's frustrating while you're in it, because you're like, I don't want this feeling anymore. But that is always the nice part, is like, year, months later, when you just look back and you're like, wow, I can't believe I was sad, like, because I'm fine now, you know? So sometimes you just need to remind yourself, like, there's some quote that's like, can you remember what you were worrying about a year ago? And the answer is 9 times out of 10, no. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so you're like, oh yeah, I was all worried a year ago about something and now I'm not anymore. Like,
right. And even these huge things, and I just think, like, as you get older, especially, other things will happen in your life and they will just be so much more important than a guy who kind of liked you. Like, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, I think of all the, you know, people go through divorces with kids and separating families, and it's like, if we can't even handle these breakups with people we meet on Hinge, like, what are we gonna do if we get divorced? That's gonna be rough.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that's really stuck out to me is how I felt without the communication, because I've never had a relationship that was just so abrupt. We didn't talk for the 10 days afterwards, and really, like, for a solid week, I was feeling fantastic. And so that's where also a lot of doubt was coming from me, of like, did I even really like this person that much? And then the second I heard from him, I was just bawling in bed again. And now I'm like, okay, either we're gonna have a conversation again and you're gonna say you made a mistake if that's how you felt, or we really can never talk again.
Yeah, that's my new breakup rule, of just like, when you break up, just make it very like, yeah, we're not gonna talk. Like,
yeah,
unless this is you trying to get back together, do not reach out to me, like, period.
Well, yeah, I mean, a breakup is a breakup for a reason. And that's why people are, you know, no matter what, even if you like aren't on terrible terms, I think like when you break up, you need to give it, like, I would say at least a month where you're just like not talking, you're not just not communicating. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, you know, people even, you know, in marriages take a month off if they're going through a hard time, to really have that silence to evaluate your situation. The only thing I would rectify from what I would adjust from like what you guys both just said is you guys are both seemingly waiting for these calls for these guys to say we want to get back together. And that is a huge mistake, because the reason you're reacting the way you do when they finally contact you is because you've given them full control over the situation. Like, you're just then waiting and like, oh, well, if he wants me back, I'll get back. Like, no. The answer is no, guys. No, no, no. There's no reason. I mean, and I know you guys aren't like dating like professional athletes and shit. So it's like, that's what I'm saying, you put up with extra bullshit. But like, it made me laugh because on Call Her Daddy, Alex was talking about the guy who broke her heart, like, and it was a member of the Red Sox. And I'm like, I've had my heart broken that badly by someone who couldn't afford it. You put two combo up Panera Bread. I'm doing everything wrong. Yeah. I'm getting my heart broken by the wrong people.
No, I mean, I more say that of like, I think that makes it the most clear to them of like, there's no excuse to reach out. Like, I think that just makes it very clear of like, we are not going to speak. Like, there is no reason. Yeah. Especially like when they do dump you, you're like, okay, you're dumping me because you don't want me. So that's clear. That reason is clear, and that's fine. And you're like, and that's also why I don't want to hear from you. Like,
I don't know. I'm sitting here of like, I think I was starting to get some texts of regret last night, and I don't know where he's trying to take that conversation.
Whatever the reason he's doing it, kind of doesn't matter to you. You're not this person's therapist. This person's old enough. You know, you're not their caretaker. Even if this person, you were to get back together with them, which you shouldn't be thinking about, they need to do that work before they come back to you. And that work is not going to be done in 10 days while he has COVID. So, you know, so the text of regret, like, can come, but like, I mean, I wouldn't really even engage with those, because it's just him taking more energy from you, and it's going to ultimately lead nowhere. Men heterosexual men are energy vampires to heterosexual women, and it's evident in everything that we do. But it's true, and 50% of that blame is on us for putting value over on relationships over our own personal successes. And like, listen, if your goal is to be a wife and a mom, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I would argue that I don't think many people in 2021's ultimate goal is to be a wife and a mom. I just don't think it's true. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want a wife. A wife sounds great, honestly.
A wife sounds amazing. I would also love a wife.
Like, oh, I just come home, my house is clean, there's food on the table, someone's just nice to me, takes care of the kids. That sounds great. Sounds wonderful. Just supports my dreams.
What successful women have done is they've basically just hired assistants, and that's what most men should be doing. But, you know, it's like, you know, they're fiscally very smart. So it's like, why hire an assistant when I can find a woman who will fuck me and do all the stuff an assistant would do?
I mean,
that's on us.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on. And to end, we're going to do a little rapid fire segment, breakup edition. All right. So we'll all do our best to just answer these as straightforward as we can. Okay. So first one, would you rather break up with someone over the phone or in person?
I mean, in person.
For me, honestly, it would depend how long we were dating.
Yeah, I have broken up with someone on the phone, but it was purely because of geographical reasons. But like, even though it's harder emotionally, it makes me uncomfortable. It's the right thing to do. And I would prefer to do it that way.
Yeah, I agree with that. Okay. Would you rather be broken up with over the phone or in person?
It depends. If I didn't care about that much, I would love a phone breakup. But I love to like just not handle the emotional part. I'll handle that on my own. But like if it's someone I'm in a long-term relationship, like yes, you have to do it in person. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, based on the last, I would say in person. Just because I know how the other one feels.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay, yes or no. Have you ever dumped someone and did not cry?
Yes.
Yeah.
No. I don't like change.
What's more, like when
you that's things coming out about you, though. That'll be helpful.
Yeah. Well, when you're dumping someone, it's more you feel bad, I feel like, when I've cried.
I get just really awkward. Yeah.
All right. Yes or no. Should you ever get back with an ex?
I mean, I've never done it, but I don't think it's crazy.
Wow. I thought you were going to say hard no. Yeah, I say hard no.
Okay. Would you rather be dumped in front of your coworkers or in front of your family?
Coworkers.
I say coworkers.
Yeah, coworkers.
Hard coworkers. All right. Would you rather have sex with your worst ex or have sex with the worst you've ever had?
Worst ex. That's a very... It's a very mentally healthy, unstable answer to give. But it's, I mean, sex is sex. I at this point, I can compartmentalize.
Yeah, outside of quarantine, would the answer change?
No, I don't have bad sex. There, that to me feels like I'm molesting myself. It's terrible.
Honestly, I don't know what one I'd pick.
I think worst ex.
You would go worst ex?
Yeah, because at least you know what you're... I feel like worse sex is just, I would be dreading it more.
Yeah, I'd be dreading it more, but then mentally I'd be fine after. You know what I mean? I wouldn't be thinking about that person. Like,
yeah.
I think I'd go worst I've ever had, actually.
That's a healthier answer, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think either are healthy. It's, you know, it's a game. Hopefully none of us have to do any of this.
Okay. What hurts more, finding out your ex cheated or finding out your ex is now dating someone you both know?
I've never had either, but I say someone. Both I say someone you both know.
Neither of them are great. It's weird because just in this business, everyone's always dating someone I know. So I would say finding out they cheated on you, I guess.
Hurts more.
Yeah, I think so. Just because to me it erases the trust that that you thought existed during the relationship.
Yeah, I've had both happen. I feel like the finding out they dated someone you both know hurts more. Especially like not being in comedy, it feels more intentional when it happened to me.
Well, yeah, that would be kind of wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, like if it was a coworker, I expect that behavior from men because they don't, like men aren't like women. They're like not out seeking the perfect person. They're just like, who's to my right? Who's to my left? Who will it be? You know? So I'm like, yeah, it's not personal. Whatever. Right.
All right. Then we have a couple fuck, marry, kills. Fuck, marry, kill. Getting dumped via text, getting dumped in public, getting dumped by being ghosted.
So I would, I guess I would fuck being ghosted. Kill getting dated, getting dumped by text, and then marry getting dumped in person.
In public.
In public, sorry. I mean, public person, same thing, kind of.
I definitely would marry getting dumped in public. I kind of don't care about the other two. They're both kind of equally bad to me.
Yeah, to me, it's like if you don't feel strongly enough about me to dump me by text, just fucking don't talk to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Fuck, marry, kill. Getting dumped by text message, getting dumped by voicemail message, or getting dumped by an email?
Ooh, interesting. I would marry getting dumped by email. I actually really love an email because there's a lot of thought that you put into that and you can kind of sit with it. To me, it doesn't feel impersonal. I would kill getting dumped by voicemail. I think that actually works worse than text. And then I would fuck getting dumped by text.
I think I'd kill voicemail for sure.
Yeah.
And I agree with email, especially it feels like they sat at the computer, they reread it. I feel like an email you always reread, a text you don't. Yeah. It's like less thought.
I'm an emailer, yeah. And it doesn't mean I don't care. In fact, it means I care very much. It means I needed to sit down and gather my thoughts. And I really wanted to say these specific things to you. And like, you can really go over that in email. Whereas if you're saying it out loud, you might miss something. You might get nervous. They have an opportunity to interject at a time that you kind of just like, I think it should be one person says their piece, other person says their piece, you know, like the way you would do in court.
Very true. Last one. Fuck, marry, kill. Cheating, lying, snooping.
Kill snooping. Snooping's my number one pet peeve. Kill snooping, fuck cheating, and marry lying. Everyone lies. Sometimes it's good for us.
Molly, you got a trust thing. I don't know if you're marrying lying.
Yeah, no. Lying and snooping feels similar to me, though.
Snooping's like looking through your shit.
Yeah.
Snooping to me says you don't trust me. Lying says you don't trust yourself. I don't care how you feel about yourself.
I feel like this is the dilemma of like, if someone cheated, would you rather they tell you? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, what?
If they cheated once and they're not in contact, and it's not like someone they'll ever, like, I would rather just have them not tell me.
That's why you're marrying lying, right?
There's no, lying when used responsibly can, I think, be really healthy. So the people who like always tell the truth or have this like, these like things called like, you know, radical honesty, I think are, those people are fucked in the head. Lying was invented because sometimes everyone doesn't need to know everything and it's helpful.
Yeah, that's true.
Men are just very bad
at counting white lies.
Yeah.
Men are just bad at lying. They don't, because they're not like sleuthy like women, so they don't know how to cover it like correctly. But like, if you don't want someone to know something, like they cannot know something. The one time that I know of that I was cheated on, like I guessed it, and I guessed who it was with because he did a bad job. You know?
Yeah. Sure. I mean, I found out 3 years later that I got cheated on, and I was like, I could have gone without this information.
Exactly. Like, you didn't need to know that.
Yeah. I was like, I stopped thinking about you ever, and here we are.
Did you find out from the person or from someone else in the circle?
From someone else.
Okay. That's how I found out too. Like that confirmed it because the person denied it. And I was like, oh my God, now I have to like, it's like, if you had just admitted it when I asked you, we could have been a year ahead in the progress of our, whether, you know, of whatever we're going to be with our friendship or not. And now it's like, I just fucking hate you.
Yeah.
Dumb.
Which one are you killing, Molly?
I think I'm going to kill cheating. Fuck lying, and honestly marry snooping, because I look at that of like, I don't have anything to hide. Someone can look all they want, and that doesn't really bother me.
I debated that.
As long as you're not interpreting it as it as in they're looking because they care so much, because
no.
Not true.
But anyway, thank you so much for joining us, and as always, you can follow Corinne at Philanthropy Gal and listen to her new podcast, Without a Country Podcast, on Gas Digital. As always, you can follow the podcast at Shooters Gotta Shoot Pod, and I'm at Sparica with two A's.
And I'm at the Guaca_Molly.
And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.